everybody out there in podcast land. Welcome to episode number 150 of eBay the Right Way. Today's date is January 31st, 2024, and my guest is Diane in Mississippi. Just a short announcement this week, since last week I talked your ears off. And thank you for all your lovely messages and emails about my life-changing news. I'm very excited about this next chapter of life. One thing I did not mention is that my Midwestern man has a homestead with significant acreage. It is a modern, comfortable homestead with updated technology, not living off the grid or anything. He has cattle, chickens, a huge garden in the summer. He grows gourmet mushrooms that he sells to grocery stores and high-end restaurants, and is in the process of building a geothermal greenhouse. He's monetized his acreage and farm life very well, and that is right up my alley, because I do the same thing with eBay. So there's no telling what we're going to get into. Anyway, I will be documenting our homestead journey on my YouTube channel as life unfolds. So make sure you are subscribed to my YouTube channel as well as this podcast if you are interested in watching our homestead journey. I'm really looking forward to all the possibilities a homestead offers. Integrating a homestead with eBay should be a fascinating combination. Okay, on to the chat with Diane.
Welcome back, listeners. I have Diane with us today, and she has been a frequent poster on the Money Making Mondays for a while. Tell us where you're located, Diane.
I'm in Meridian, Mississippi. We're close to the Alabama state line.
Okay.
Middle of the state.
And y'all had some bad weather down there recently, didn't you?
Really unseasonably cold weather. Several
did
days.
Did you get any ice?
Yes.
Did your power go out?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Blessed. No power outage.
Did you go to the store and get bread and milk?
Beforehand.
With everybody else, right?
With everybody else, right. It was crowded.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we usually start off with talking about what brought you to eBay and when.
Okay. I taught school for 34 years and retired in 07 from my full-time teaching job. And I needed something to do, so I started out selling on Etsy. And I don't know why I chose Etsy. I guess I thought it would be easy. eBay seemed a little complicated back then to me when I was starting out. And I had a flea market booth that with my son and one other person for $25 a month, little bitty corner. And I would go to thrift stores and garage sales and things like that. So I think it was around 2010, maybe, I took a class at the Meridian Community College on selling on eBay, and I started selling. And I've been selling off and on. I've taken a break a few times and kind of abandoned my store, left it, still paid for it, but didn't list. And so I've started back really full force this year. I'm going to really do it this year.
Okay, good for you. Now, that's a common situation with eBay sellers. Life happens. You have to put everything on hold. Was there a certain life event that happened, or did you just get busy in general?
Not busy in general. Even though I was retired, I took a part-time job at Meridian Community College with a program called Lifetime Quest, and my role was to plan travel for the members. And I had a lot of fun, but it was really, it took up a lot of time and I didn't have a lot of free time and I was out of town quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I still kept my listings, but I would be sometimes late mail in the listing or just that type of thing. So, and I decided in, let's see, a little over a year ago that I needed to step back from that position. I was just a younger person needed to do it. So I retired from that job in May of 2023 after about 8 years.
You're right. Planning travel is stressful.
It's just fun, but it's stressful.
Just all the pieces you have to put together about, you know, like if you've got connecting flights and how long is the layover and trying to get from one place to another direct can be a real challenge.
Well, we used a travel agent for big trips where there were flights, but the local trips, we did a lot of overnight and a lot of Broadway across America, you know, a lot of bus trips.
Oh, but okay.
At least one or two a month. So
there's something to be said for the bus trips because you can bring more stuff. Like you don't have to worry about checking your luggage.
That's right.
And it's just a slower pace. You don't have to worry about missing a connecting flight or anything like that. Now, what was your area when you were a school teacher?
First grade for 3 years. And then after my daughter was born, when I returned, I taught second grade. I stayed in second grade the rest of the time until my last year. And the last year I did tutoring for second and third graders.
Okay. So little kids.
Yeah, little kids.
And so when did you actually retire from teaching?
2007.
Okay, 07. So before the whole COVID disaster of having to figure out how to teach and then
I felt sorry for teachers during that time.
Even now, people are still getting COVID. My nephew has it right now in Charlotte. And I thought we were done with this. So you got out just in time. Okay. Now let's talk about some things that you've sold and, you know, how your business works.
Okay. Well, I sell mostly vintage. I don't really sell new things. It's a lot of jewelry. I'm trying to branch out and try other things. I haven't been too successful with clothes. I don't really like selling clothes that much.
You don't have to like clothes. There's more for us that do like them.
That's true. But, you know, there's something about going to the thrift store and going through racks and racks and racks and racks of clothes that I don't really enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is time consuming. That's true. Do you have specialized jewelry knowledge or is it just something you taught yourself?
Well, when I first retired from teaching, I had flea market booths, and I started out with just that one little one, and then pretty soon my inventory grew, so I opened another one, and I met this lady that was at this bigger flea market, and her name was, everybody called her Pink Nelly, because that was her flea market booth name. So one day she had this huge box of jewelry and she said, why don't you buy this for me? And she said, you know, since you sell online, you probably would enjoy selling this online. And so I bought the whole big box of jewelry and had this huge display case with it. And it was $100 probably for, you know, 100 pieces plus the display case. And so I started listing the jewelry on Etsy mostly. At that time, I don't think I was selling on eBay. And I sold the display case, you know, immediately, made my money back. So I really, and she told me what to do to buy the loop. And I didn't know anything about brand names, that type of thing, but I just started learning and, you know, slowly but surely, I've learned a little bit.
Do you have some jewelry sales you'd like to share?
Well, probably the most memorable, the one that I have sold was the Eisenberg fur brooch. And I bought that in with a lot of, probably about 200 pieces or more. And I think I paid $200 for the lot. When I can buy all of it, I will try to do that if the estate sale person will let me.
Okay.
Sometimes they won't. But anyway, they sold it all to me and had the Eisenberg brooch in there. So I listed it for $299, and it was just absolutely gorgeous, sterling silver. And it took me forever to sell it. Got a lot of lowball offers, and I really didn't want to sell it because I think it drove a lot of traffic to my store. People mm-hmm. would look for that brand name and come into the store. So that was probably the most memorable piece that I've sold. I've had gold. I found gold before, but usually do not sell that online. I either scrap it or keep it.
Okay. Now, can you tell us what that Eisenberg brooch looked like?
It was just beautiful. It had, it was about 3 inches long, had beautiful rhinestones that were prong set, marked sterling silver on the back, marked Eisenberg originals on the back. It was just a really pretty piece. Wish I had it back.
Well, you know, you rehomed it, so that's good. You made money on it. I haven't heard of that brand. Do you know anything about the brand?
Well, I can't really say a lot about it. I just know that it's kind of a high-end brand that's been around for a long time. And then there's some later Eisenberg that's not as valuable. But this piece was one of the original pieces that was valuable, more valuable. In fact, this weekend, I found some Eisenberg earrings at an estate sale for 50 cents.
Really?
They were just thrown in a box. And the second day I went back, and I had been there the day before and looked through and asked them if I could buy all of the jewelry at one time. Oh, no, the ladies were all hovered around it digging, and they wouldn't do that. And so I went back the next day. And by then I thought, I'm not going to buy all of it because it's been picked through. But I did mm-hmm. find the Eisenberg earrings. So I haven't listed those yet. But they're coming
up.
I mean,
you just never know who's been there before you and what they know and what they leave behind. So I know I say that a lot, but it's to encourage people, you know, keep looking because you don't know what's been missed. And so have you done the research on those earrings yet?
No.
So you don't know how you're going to price them?
Have a huge, huge death pile, probably bigger than anybody that listened into this. Mine's probably bigger, the biggest one of all. I think I might win it.
How many things do you have listed in your store?
As of today, it was about 283.
And is that mostly jewelry?
Largely. There's a few other things.
Okay. So are estate sales your preferred way to get jewelry to sell?
Yes, I usually find better stuff at estate sales. Or garage sales, I used to find some really good stuff at garage sales, but they're not advertised as much now, and I miss them. So I usually just like going to the estate sales. So I remember going to a garage sale when I first started doing really into the jewelry, and there was several Joan Rivers pieces, which is a newer brand, but it's something that sold on QVC and has a pretty good resale value. And so I bought those pieces. Then I went back the later on in the day and asked the lady if she had any more. And she said, well, I do. And she said, and so we came up with a price and she sold me everything. This was all of her aunt's stuff. And her aunt had, you know, all she did was sit and order from QVC. There's quite a few people that do that.
Yeah, that was definitely a thing when that started coming on. Do you know Joan Rivers' story with the jewelry line?
No.
Okay. Well, it's a very interesting story. You know, after her husband died, she was removed from the Tonight Show. She was like $34 million in debt. And she knew she had to start another venture. And so that's when she partnered with QVC. With her jewelry line. And one of the reasons it's valuable is not because of the stones or anything like that. It just wasn't made for a very long time. It had a short life. And so some of those pieces, you know, can sell for $300, the more well-known piece, or maybe more, probably more in the future because, you know, there's just a limited number of them. But that was, I love her story because, you know, she was down and out and she just rallied and came back and went into a completely different type of business. You know, it wasn't comedy, it wasn't TV. And she did something where she could mass produce products and sell them. And, you know, she pulled herself out of that hole. So whether you like her or not, she's a great example of an entrepreneur that just kept going.
So I have several of her pieces that I haven't gotten to, but like I said, my death pile is quite huge. I've just, I don't need to be shopping, but I do. I go to the store.
You know, anyway. You can't. You got to keep getting more stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so I guess when you do have an ice storm down there, you'll have plenty of things to work on when you can't go anywhere.
Well, I've started really telling myself that if I buy anything new, I have to come list it that very day. And so I'll sit down and list everything that I bought this weekend's already been listed and it's packed away. But I still need to be working on the death pile too.
Well, don't beat yourself up. You're doing a great job. And
that's what I did this morning. I got up, I shopped my house, went up there in the bonus room where most of it's stored and filled up a little basket full of just odds and ends, different things that I had bought down through the, I have to say, years that are unlisted. I also have a jewelry booth at a local mini mall. It's called the Atrium Mini Mall, and I sell a lot of jewelry there.
Okay.
Mostly vintage, not brand new jewelry. I do sometimes order new jewelry, but I've got so much of the other that I can price it cheap, and you know, it sells real well.
Are you still on Etsy?
I'm on Etsy. Etsy's just like eBay. I pretty much neglected it. And if you don't list, you don't sell. So I do make a few sales on Etsy, but more on eBay.
Mm-hmm. Etsy can be tough to get traction, and it just seems to take longer.
Right.
I guess they don't have as big of an audience, you know, registered sellers and buyers as eBay does. So I think that's part of it. There's just not as, I mean, they do have an impressive number of buyers on there, but it's just not like eBay. So, well, do you want to tell us some other things you've sold?
Well, one thing that was interesting, my son has an estate sale business in New Orleans. So estate sales. And I have an apartment down there that I'm have kind of like a timeshare that's next door to his apartment. Mm-hmm. So I go down there often. I've started playing bridge, and there's a nice bridge club down there, which I play here too. But so sometimes I'll go to his sales at the end of the day, like right when he's getting ready to close up, and see what's left, if there's anything that he'll sell me for a pretty good price. So one day I was down there and I bought this little sack of troll dolls. It was, you know, 5 or 6 troll dolls in there. And I think he had $15 on the bag. And of course I didn't, it was half price day. And so I can't really remember how much I paid for it. But anyway, one of the troll dolls in there was, had 2 heads. It was a Siamese twin troll doll.
Oh my gosh.
So I looked those up on eBay, and you know, they had sold for a good bit. The one I had was not in really wonderful condition, so I decided to put it up for auction. And I think it ended up bringing around $50. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, I really don't have a lot of really high dollar sales. I wish I did, but I have fun with it. I like selling the little things. And
well, don't apologize for that, because that's not what this podcast is about. It's just about, you know, the eBay life, the eBay community, right. And that it really is a way of life.
It is. And it's so the guy that taught the eBay class at the college that I took, I run into him at the estate sales, and it's so funny. He looks for different things than I look for. So he'll be with looking at the electronics and DVD players and hauling off old media things. And, you know, I'm just not into that right now.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't have to be. Do what you love. And then it's not like work. You just, sometimes I work on my eBay 8 hours a day. And then other days, I don't want to look at it. It's like, I cannot spend another minute on the computer. My arm's going to fall off. But, you know, then there's days where you just you can't wait to dive in. And another seller sent me a box of clothing, that lightweight clothing that they were trying to downsize their death pile. And they just were like, if you want to pay the shipping, I'll send this to you. And I was like, sure, I'll take it. And so it was interesting to see what that person picked and things I'd never seen before. So I'm learning on that. It came from a different part of the country than I'm in. So in a cold part of the country. So like things I would never see here in the South. Didn't know these brands. So as I don't really need more inventory. But I'm not going to turn something like that down where it's an experienced picker, a seller that knows what they're doing.
I'll take anything anybody offers me.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to ask how far you are from New Orleans.
About 3.5 hours.
Okay. So that's not too bad of a drive to go down there to the timeshare and then get some estate sale leftovers. Do you bring back a lot of stuff, or is it mostly just smalls that easily fit in your vehicle?
Oh, I don't bring back anything really big. And then I buy for myself, too. This past, let's see, 2 weeks ago, my son had one. It was a surgeon from New Orleans that was relocating to New Mexico, and they had some really nice stuff. So I saw the sale before he ever started. He let us go by and look at it, and everything was priced, and he saw me over there looking at the jewelry and he said, you don't need any of that. It's not, you know. I said, okay. So the next day before we went right at the end of the sale, and he had a terrarium from Pottery Barn. And he said, Mama, you need to buy this. This would look great on your porch. So okay. That took up the whole car.
Oh,
so I do buy for myself too, but I'm at the stage in life where I really don't need a lot. And it has to be something I really like. And I bought that with the promise that I would get rid of a couple of things on the porch.
Right, right.
I have a really nice big screen porch that we enjoy most of the year.
Is that what I see behind you?
Well, that's the unscreened part.
Okay.
I've got two porches. I've got a, yeah. We actually, that door then in the dining room is another door that leads out onto the screen porch part.
Yeah, you got to have a screen porch in the South.
Oh, yeah. We love it.
You get the breeze without the bugs. Yeah. Now, is it just you and your household?
No, I'm married to my husband. He goes with me occasionally, but he doesn't love the estate sale. He's just not into it. But he doesn't complain about all the junk that's filled up so many of the little nooks and crannies in this house. So.
Well, that's a wonderful husband that just wants you to be happy and do your thing. And is he your driver when you go out estate sailing? Or
No.
That to me is one of the more exhausting parts of like going to 3 or 4 sales in a day is the ones I've been to, you have to park so far away because there's so many people there. And it's like, okay, this is a really hilly neighborhood. How far am I going to have to walk? And then, you can drive down and pick up your stuff if it's too much to carry. But, I would come back from, a Saturday with going to estate sales and garage sales. And I'm like, yeah, that was a workout.
Yeah.
walking back and forth. I need a driver. Just drop me off.
Well, in New Orleans, you really do. But I try to stay on the streets that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't usually go by the GPS too much. I try to kind of map them out ahead of time. We go to his competitor sales too to check those out and come tell him what they've got.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes he goes with us if he doesn't have a sale going on that weekend. Little lobster that you noticed on the Facebook group,
mm-hmm.
the Sener. that one was one that I'm sure came with a big lot of jewelry that was left over from a sale that I bought, probably in New Orleans.
Is it Signer or Signer?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I don't know either. I've been saying it's Signer, so I know that someone out there will correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate that because I don't know everything.
So you say it's?
I say it's Signer. But
Signer. Yeah, I think I looked it up, and yeah, I believe you're right.
For the listeners, it's spelled C-I-N-E-R. And I think I included a pair of earrings that you sold. Yes. Is that you, the blue earrings, the coupons? Yeah. Okay, that was in the...
Sold several pieces from that brand, and I think they all came, like I'm saying, at this point, some of the lots that I've bought have gotten mixed up, so I'm not really sure which is... sale they came from, but there were several of that brand name, and that I've got. I've sold several pieces of it. Got some more to list.
Yeah, of course, always. Well, and jewelry is something that just accumulates quickly because it's just a lot of times you're buying the bags of it, the lots, and you get so much at a time, and it's so small. You know, it's not like DVD or VHS players where, you know, VCRs where it's going to take up a lot of room. You can really squirrel that away and have a lot of it. In my limited experience with jewelry, it can get overwhelming pretty fast when you buy it in those big bags.
I did buy that one lot that had the Joan Rivers stuff in there. She had a 14 karat gold watch. And I did, that's probably one of the biggest, in addition to the Eisenberg piece that I've sold. But I've got so much of it that I know sometimes I price it too low just to get the sale going and get things moving again.
Yeah, that is definitely a strategy. I use that too, especially if I've had something a long time and it keeps showing up in my best offer like every day. You know, it's like, what's the problem? Why won't you buy this? So, yeah. Do you go through your listings and end and restart them, or you just set it and forget it?
I've started doing that a little bit, but right now I'm just concentrating on getting things listed. But I do sit down every morning and look at what's going to come up to be renewed that day, and I either tweak it or sometimes I will stop it and sell similar.
Mm-hmm. Do you find you get results with that strategy?
Well, I don't know if it's results or just that, you know, I sold a quilt from St. Patrick's Day that was made out of old T-shirts that came from a New Orleans estate sale that I think I paid $1 for. And I've had it forever. It was so cute. And nobody would ever buy it, never got any offers on it or anything. And I went in and added a couple of words. And it sold that very day. So,
yeah. I love that. Good.
Maybe it was the tweaking.
It could be. Or the magic where you go into your eBay room and you're like, I've had this forever. I wish it would sell. And you touch it and look at it. And then it magically sells really soon. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah. And something will sell that is just like really... I'm not totally unprepared for it to sell. And then something that you're getting a lot of watchers on, sometimes it takes a long time. I've got one piece that came from another lot that's by Susan Shaw. And I'm not familiar with her, but I've only listed it about 3 days and I've already got 6 watchers and I've already had a couple of offers on it. So I think I may have it. I don't know.
Well, go in and raise the price.
Okay, I might do that.
Sometimes that works if you raise the price because the watchers are notified.
Oh.
I believe that they have to have their settings on to be notified, or maybe that's changed. But if they see the price going up, they may take action because, they may raise the price again. I better get it now. You know, it's like when gas prices go up and down. It's like, it's going up. I better go get gas now before it goes up anymore, you know, and it
that's a good idea. I may try that.
Yeah, a sense of urgency. I forget to do that sometimes, but yeah, try raising the price. And that's really counterintuitive, because when you see you have a lot of watchers, you want to, if I lower the price, maybe they'll take it. But you kind of do the reverse psychology on that and if they don't do anything, you could just drop the price again. And people are like, well, how much do you raise it? I don't know. There's no set rule. 20%, $10. I don't know. Just it's trial and error. You just got to jiggle it around and see what happens. Yeah. So I don't know. See. And if you do that, let me know if it works.
Yeah, that's a good experiment.
You can be a guinea pig on that.
This particular lot of jewelry, and I have it all in a box, but I don't. I asked my son when I was talking to him last night, and I told him I was going to do this. I said, do you remember this box and where which estate sale that I bought it from? And he did not remember, because there's so much jewelry. And, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of it left over, you know, and it's. Every bit of it was priced and has his handwriting on it. And of course, he prices it. And I take a lot of it to the flea market, but I usually lower the price even at the flea market from what he has on it a lot of times.
Do you make much money there at the flea market, or are you just getting rid of stuff?
Not a huge amount. The rent's $90, and I always make that. And, you know, sometimes a little extra, or sometimes $200 or $300 would be a good month.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's worth it, you know.
A good way to move things along that, right. You know.
And I don't know what I would do with all of that stuff if I had to close that booth down. First, I would put it on, I'd have a 50% off sale, and then a 75% off sale. And it may come to that. I don't enjoy doing it as much as I enjoy listing and selling on eBay.
Yeah, because, I mean, the flea market, that's physical work.
Yeah.
You got to take the stuff up there, and then you got to do something with it if it doesn't sell, and you got to physically be up there, don't you?
No, just
you don't?
Well, you don't have to be up there to sell. You're just up there to take merchandise.
Okay, okay.
And then they bring, you have a vendor number, and they bring it around, and they have computers that, you know, and you get a check at the end of the month.
Okay, so kind of like an antique booth where
it's kind of like
stuff is there and it's tagged, and when they check out, you get credit for it and all that. Right. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. I was envisioning
I wouldn't do it if I had to be there.
Here in South Carolina, in Anderson, we have something called the Jockey Lot, and it's just a huge outdoor flea market, just gravel, and people just go up there and take their stuff. They, you know, you have to rent a spot, but that's what I was envisioning when you said flea market. Because
I did do that one time in Slidell. We loaded up all this jewelry, and I had, back then I was buying jewelry boxes and painting them with chalk paint. I had a lot of those, and I did pretty good, but it was so much work for the amount of money that I made. So never again.
So you've got your eBay, you're retired. Do you have any other side hobbies that you do?
Well, I started playing bridge, and that's taken up a lot of my time.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Not easy. It's very hard.
It is complicated. I tried to learn it once and I'm like, this just isn't for me. You know, I'll go back to card games with my kids.
Yeah,
like Go Fish and Crazy Eights, easy stuff.
Well, I took lessons, and all through COVID, you know, we played online, and of course, we were doing everything wrong. So I really made up my mind that I was really going to get better at it. So I've been studying a lot and playing with the same partners, going to tournaments, gotten a few points, but it's a fun hobby. A lot of my friends do it, so I see friends there. In fact, I'm going this afternoon. I'm playing in a bridge game here in Meridian.
Is it like through a church or a community center, or just at somebody's
community
house?
Center?
Okay, okay.
The bridge club is located at the community center, but they actually are a separate group.
Okay. Have you ever played Mahjong?
Well, I have a friend that's been trying to get me to do that.
I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah. She says that she said, you'll love that. It's so much easier and you don't have to worry about your partner and disappointing your partner.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Cause it's four players, right?
Right.
Yeah. I learned it as a teenager, but of course, you know, all that knowledge is gone since I didn't use it, but, that looks really fun and interactive and yeah, that's on my to-do list at some point in life is learn how to do that. So, okay. Do you have any other sales you want to talk about? Because you mentioned the quilts and you sell other things besides jewelry.
Let's see. Let me think. Look at my list here. I keep a little list of everything I've sold. Okay. One thing I did recently, I bought some Vera dinner napkins for, you know, $2 or $3, and it was 18 of them in the stack. And so I looked at the comps and, you know, they were going for pretty high. So I thought, well, should I lot these out into little groups or should I so I decided to sell them all. And I had them listed for about $60 and I got an offer for $50 and I took it. They're gone. So.
And what was the brand?
Vera is and there's a little ladybug on there. When you go to an estate sale, look for vintage scarves, napkins that have Vera with a little ladybug on it. And they're pretty collectible.
So not Vera Bradley. It's just Vera.
Vera. Yeah, Vera Newman maybe is her name. I'm not sure I'm saying that correct. And then I had another little thing I sold that I was surprised so quick. I had a Wedgeworth dish that was Queen Elizabeth commemorative little dish. And I think I put that on eBay, but it was this, I mean, on your thread, but it was this way. So your little video you did didn't cover the ones that were listed this week.
Oh, okay.
I've had that forever, and I finally said, okay, I got to get this stuff listed. So I got it listed. It sold just within a few days.
Oh,
so
great.
So it's white with the Queen Elizabeth on the front.
Okay.
Then I had some sugar babies that were sold. These were little bitty figures about 2 inches high, and they were from Japan. And I actually have two sets of them. Whoever this lady was bought two duplicate sets.
Really?
So I sold one of them. I'm going to wait a few days and list the other one.
So what are sugar babies? I know about snow babies.
They look like snow babies, but they're rabbit. I mean, little bunny ears, like rabbit.
Okay. Looking,
but they're kids. And they're from Japan. And I think I got $60-something for those. I'm not sure if I put that on there or not. I may have forgotten that, you know.
Are they like the anthropomorphic where it has a human characteristics, but it's an animal? You know, like some of those, that tableware, it's like an onion and it has a human face on it.
Yeah. No, I don't. They're not really like that. They look like little kids, but they just have little rabbit ears.
Okay. Okay. That's a good sale.
I could look back. I mean, I just all down through the years, I've got all my little sales, and I've sold a money clip one time. That's always interesting. I sell a lot of needlepoint.
Okay.
I did go to thrift stores occasionally. I went to one in Philadelphia, Mississippi, which is about 40 miles from here, and they had all this needlepoint. I mean, like 40 or 50 pieces of it. None of it was framed, everything. So I asked her, I said, how much would you take for all of it? So they hem-hauled around and, you know, discussed it with each other. And finally they said, well, we'll sell it to you for $3 a piece. So I said, okay, I'll take it. So I ended up buying all of it. And I'm still trying to get that sold. I listed one piece this morning. I've already had at least one watcher the last time I looked on that. So. That's something that I try to pick up is embroidery, needlepoint, anything that ships easy. Now, I do occasionally will get something glass, and I always regret it when it sells.
Well, I guess if it's small, that's easy, but I'm on board with that, you know, the big vases and the big pottery pieces. And some people just love shipping.
Yeah.
They just love wrapping and all that.
I like shipping the small things. I have done a little bit of plush. There was another sale in New Orleans that where the attic was just full of like 1980s stuff. And so I bought several plush Care Bears, almost all of that sold except for one little piece I've still got. So I was doing a little better back then with keeping up with my listings and not getting behind.
Well, don't beat yourself up. That's just, I call it an occupational hazard. You're just going to have, I mean, there's worse things. You could be working for somebody else. So
that's right.
That's what I always tell myself. Yeah, maybe I'm behind or got too much stuff, but
well,
bad day as an eBay seller is still better than working for somebody else.
Right. And I'm trying to get some of my family members. My son already sells on eBay, just very limited. He doesn't really have time to do it. But my daughter's a nurse, and she's kind of interested. I said, it's a great little thing to do when you're retired. I don't know that, I mean, it would be wonderful if you could do it in as a career, but it takes a while to get that going where you can make a salary and actually make money at it. Try to get my grandsons interested, and, you know, they're not really interested. But
well, back to your daughter, we need nurses. So yeah. That's a good thing. And there are a lot of people in healthcare and education, teaching that do this on the side just because it's so flexible.
Right.
And I really don't, I don't recommend doing this full time as your only income. It's just too unpredictable. You got to have other stuff going on. But, you know, if she's a nurse, she's got the education, the training. No, she shouldn't. Unless she's burned out, you know.
She's been nursing a good while, and she's not really, I mean, she can't do this. She has to work. So, but, you know, one day it might be something that when she gets to the point where she can go part-time or not work, then I think she would, you know, maybe
well,
I can
hand it over to her. A lot of people in an established career, they want to do this full time, but they're hanging in there for their retirement, you know, or their tenure or whatever they're hanging in there for. And they would just love to do this full time. A lot of these are students in my school that, you know, they're like, oh, well, I don't get to retire for another 3 years, but I want to learn this now so that when retirement comes, they can just seamlessly transition into it. They'll already have it started. Same with, you know, law enforcement, teachers that are sticking it out for their last few years because, you know, they've been in that profession for 25 years and they're not just going to walk away from all the retirement benefits. That would be foolish, but there's a lot of people who want to be in your position of being retired, being able to do this as much or as little as they want. You know, you can put it aside if you want to take a trip or travel or go see your grandkids or just, you know, take the day off to play bridge or whatever you're doing. You know, when I started this, I was the stay-at-home mom that was, you know, doing it in between all the mom jobs, you know, driving kids around, helping with homework, all that stuff. And then just throughout my lifetime as an eBay seller, it just evolves to every stage of life. It's useful. And I really think reselling is a life skill. You know, you can, once you know how to do it, you can pick it up as you want to.
Well, I'll have friends that'll say, well, I have this such and such, and somebody told me it was worth something. Would you sell it for me? And I say, no, but I'll be happy to teach you how to do it. I don't want to get into that. I've got enough stuff to sell of my own without doing that. But I think there's a need for that, too. If somebody,
yeah, there's a lot of that. I have something. Can you sell it for me? And I used to think it was like, well, they're just too lazy to learn on their own, but it is a time, it's a time thing, or they just don't have the bandwidth to learn something new right now. You know, they're very busy with their life. And I used to take it real personally. Oh, they're just using me to sell their stuff. But it's more like they see the opportunity. They just don't have the time.
They're afraid. This has the time. I said, you might like doing this. And have another friend that she loves to go with me to estate sales. And she points out stuff. You know, and I said, why don't you start selling on eBay? And she, oh, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, there's an intimidation factor of, you know, never had a home business. The shipping is the number one intimidation factor with eBay. People just, I don't know if I can figure it out. And it's really so easy now. It used to be more complicated, but it's easy now. But yeah, I just go back to, if somebody says that to me, I'm like, well, what is it? And I'll just buy it from you, you know, at a price that I can flip it for. And, you know, if they don't want to, that's fine. But there's not a whole lot of us out there that are like, oh, I'll give you money for that right now. They can have a garage sale. They can find somebody else. They can take it to a consignment store, like a home consignment store that sells lamps and rugs and all those big things I don't want to ship anyway. But yeah, that's become my new answer. Or you can just go to my school and learn how to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And then they kind of are like, yeah, never mind.
They don't ever mention it again.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. If I mention it, Diane's going to say, well, you can learn. And to some people, the word learn is just a complete, that's a door slamming. It's like, I don't want to learn anything. That's going to be too complicated. So to all the listeners out there, I love
learning new stuff. I enjoy the Money Making Monday. I'm enjoying watching the videos. I'm way behind on those too.
Well, and you're a teacher, so you're all about learning. So it's not intimidating to you. But to all the sellers out there, this is a life skill. You have important knowledge, even if you don't think you do.
Right.
Because there's a huge percentage of people that would never do this. They would never dive in. They're too intimidated, or they just don't have the self-confidence to figure it out. So yay for us.
Give me stuff.
Oh, and they give you stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a win when you just get it for free and then decide, do I want to sell this or not?
I had a friend that was, she had her whole back end of her car loaded down with stuff, and she was taking it to the thrift store, and we had gone to lunch, and so she popped that up and she said, do you see anything you want? And I just said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just take it all. So I got all of that in addition to add to my other death pile, but I have sold a few of her things. So,
but you just
can't
turn down free. Yeah. Yeah.
Free is good.
Did you want to answer one of the questions at the end about a book you're reading or a podcast?
I have not read, I'm not reading a book now, but the last book I read was The Great Alone. I think it's by Kristen Hanna, maybe. I'm not really sure. But anyway, it was very good. And I highly recommend that book. It's about a family, then they moved to Alaska. The father in the story was kind of had post-traumatic stress disorder, and he was a little bit abusive, but he loved his family, but there was a lot of abuse there, and it was just a really good story. A podcast. I listened to the Hungry Girl podcast. I like listening to her occasionally.
The Hungry Girl.
Yeah. Are you familiar with her?
No. What's that about?
Lisa, can't think of her last name right now, but anyway, she mostly talks about recipes and products that you can buy that help you lose weight.
Oh, okay.
Big on Amazon. She has she does little cooking demonstrations, and she talks about Amazon things that you can buy. And she matches all of her food that she talks about to Weight Watchers, mm-hmm. how many points it is and that sort of thing. I like to listen to her sometimes.
That's helpful. Okay.
And I'm going to start listening to you.
Yeah, no judgment. I mean, we only have so much time in a day.
Right, but I think it's a great idea to be able to listen while you work, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what some people, they're like, I don't do YouTube because you got to be looking at it. And, you know, YouTube has exploded, especially since COVID. But you're competing for people's time. We only have so much time to consume all this information, whether it's educational or entertainment. Our time is limited, but I do like to listen when I'm taking pictures or listing items. I like to listen to something to keep me company. And, you know, I like it to be light, like not too serious and not like in an industry where I don't know what any of the words mean. It's like, I keep stopping. What's that mean? Looking that up. So.
So there's a lot of bridge videos on YouTube too. And I've been kind of going through those.
I think during COVID, a lot of people started a YouTube channel because they needed something to do, or they had a special skill that they could share, other people could learn. And online learning really exploded during COVID. So well, it has been wonderful chatting with you and finally getting to meet you after all this time, seeing you on the Facebook group. So keep up the great work, and we will look for you on posting all of your wonderful sales.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Bye-bye. Bye.
Today's trivia question. We talked about social media consumption. So the question is, how much time does the average person spend on social media every day, and specifically on YouTube? Here's a few seconds to think it over. Okay, how much time do people spend on social media per day? According to the latest available data in 2024, people spend an average of 2 hours and 24 minutes on social media every day. Americans clocked in at about 2 hours and 14 minutes per day, 10 minutes less per day than the average global user. Average time spent on YouTube is 48.7 minutes per day watching YouTube videos, and 87.7% of all YouTube views come from mobile devices. So yeah, all those people looking at their phones, they could be watching YouTube videos. Now just think about that. Granted, some of this time can be while you are doing another activity, if you're watching videos while exercising or doing household chores, or at your child's or grandchild's basketball practice, or standing in the line at the grocery store. But 2.5 hours a day comes out to be 17.5 hours a week, 70 hours a month. And that's a lot of time if you're just staring at a device and doing nothing else. That's like 3 whole days. So think about if you need to go on a social media diet and start doing something more in the area of personal growth, education, or self-care with those 2.5 hours a day. I mean, you could take a bubble bath while you're watching those YouTube videos and do something nice for yourself. Okay, next week's guest is Allie, who lives in the Rocky Mountains. She is a wife, mom of 4, homeschools, hunts with her family, goes camping, and does all kinds of outdoor winter sports in addition to reselling. She is one accomplished woman who will definitely inspire you. Thanks again for supporting this podcast, and make it a great week on eBay. Bye for now.